See what Jesus says right there? What does he say?
There is nothing wrong without a man. Without a man that entered into him can defile him. But things which come out of him, those are things that defile a man.
Nothing that enters a man from the outside, Jesus says, can defile him, right? Nothing. But those things that come out of him, they defile. So what I want to know is, what's your definition of being defiled? What's the definition of that? What's your definition? We ain't looking for Webster. We're looking for what? Poison is defilement to you. All right. Defilement is by you or by somebody else? All right. Anybody else got any take on what defilement is, right?
Someone who changed their perception, like peer pressure.
Defile you like that? We're going to look at this story of Genesis chapter 34, because you got a lot of texts in the Bible that people read, a lot of texts that people don't read. And Sister Jackson, they got some texts in the Bible that's just downright hard to read. They're hard to read. And I think this is one of those that's kind of hard to read, because you got a lot of awful people doing a lot of awful things to other awful people. A lot of sinful people doing a lot of sinful things, and they're compounding sin upon sin upon sin. But you know what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by God. It's profitable. So we got to read this and figure out in our hearts and minds what it is that God wants us to see in this particular narrative right here. He don't want us to skip over nothing, but he wants us to see these things because they are preserved for a particular reason. Now Jacob and his family find themselves in the land of Canaan. If you remember in our last chapter, Jacob had just met his brother. He was on his way from Haran back to the land of Canaan. He met his brother, and he thought that his brother was going to take vengeance on him, but he did not. He didn't do it. And they left cordially, and Esau went his way, and Jacob went his way. Now we find ourselves in the land of Canaan, and I want you to think about the land of Canaan, because we sing about the land of Canaan in hymns. We read about the land of Canaan. We look at the land of Canaan in a way that we think is wonderful. But right now, at this particular point in time, the land of Canaan is not a holy place at all. It's not a godly place at all, because you got to understand, Jacob is still in Canaan. God promises to give him the promised land, but that's way, way after Jacob, isn't it? Yeah, because they get trapped in Egypt, and they leave Egypt to go to the promised land, remember? Jacob and all his family left about 70 people to go there. But the land is a wicked land right now. And there's a wicked amount of people living in the land of Canaan with no moral compass at all. What does that remind you of? There's a lot of wicked people living in this, just living on this earth right now. And they don't have no moral compass at all. None. They're wicked, and they're worthy of God's judgment in their lives, and they're worthy of God's judgment even right now. So let's read Genesis chapter 34, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 initially and see just what it is that's going on right here. Genesis chapter 34, verses 1 through 7, the Bible says, "Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. And when Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and he raped her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father, 'Get me this girl as my wife.' When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled," is our word, right? "His sons were in the fields with his livestock, so he did nothing about it until he came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk to Jacob. But meanwhile, Jacob's sons had come in from the field as soon as they heard What had happened? They were shocked and furious because Shechem had done an outrageous thing in Israel by sleeping with Jacob's daughter. And listen to what it says at the end of verse number 7. A thing that should not be done. You look around the world today and people don't even blush about things that should not be done. As a matter of fact, they approve of them and they go right along with them and they do some of the things themselves. But this is clearly stated right here in a wicked world of Canaan that this is something that shouldn't be done. Spoken of in a group of a whole lot of people with no moral compass at all, something that shouldn't be done. And one thing I want you to see in this particular chapter of the Bible is that God is not spoken of at all. Anybody see God spoken of in this chapter? Help me. In this chapter right here. So we find that Dinah, the only daughter of Jacob. It's important. I want you to read it real carefully because the sun's coming in from the field. You heard about what happened. And they don't even get back to their dad before with the news. They don't get back to him. So they hear the news and they become outrageous. They become angry. They become furious and indignant. Because this sin is, again, is something that must not be done. So, you know, back in those days, the older brothers were protectors of, especially of their sisters as well. And I guess they felt like they couldn't protect her, and they were angry and mad, outraged and upset at what had happened. So imagine if they were feeling that way, Jacob, who's the father, how do you think he was feeling? He was feeling pretty bad his own self. I want to tell you, when God is removed from our society, there's no hope for anyone. When God is moved from the society, there's no hope for those that are poor. There's no hope for those that are downtrodden. There's no hope for those that are of less influence. Those that are strong with influence and strong with power, they do whatever they want to do because they don't feel like they have any consequence. That's what you see here. See, Shechem is the son of the guy who's what? He's the man over there. So he feels like he's privileged. He can do whatever he want to do, and he can have whatever he want to have. You ever met anybody like that? They're just privileged. They're just incredible. When God is removed from society, no one has an advantage except those that are powerful and wicked and those that want to do their own will. And that's what happens right here. Shechem takes Dinah and he harms her because he sees her. He does it secretly, but it's found out. More and more people experience injustice and more people experience harm when God is not in their lives. So as Christians, we find ourselves sometimes walking away from God. And as a consequence of walking away from God, what happens? We do just what the book of Romans say. We sin, we fall short of the glory of God. Every single time, every time. But rather than returning to Jacob, their dad, these boys say, you know what, I got something up my sleeve right here. This happened to our sister, so let's find out what happens. Hamor's on his way, the Bible says, to speak to Jacob. This is my son, this is your daughter, let's do some talking. And on his way to speak to Jacob, what happens? Y'all read it, right? What happened? He ran into them brothers. He ran into those brothers. Now listen, I'm thinking to myself that the brothers got to be a part of the discussion as well, even if he had went to talk to Jacob. Because Jacob said, I'm going to wait till them boys come back from the field before I tell them, because everybody needs to be involved in this, right? Let's involve everybody. So Hamor encounters the boys on his way to speak to Jacob. He says, what do y'all want to do about this? He says, I have my son who wants to marry Dinah. As a matter of fact, what's so ironic to me is verse number 8. Verse number 8 says that Shechem's heart is set on Dinah. His heart wasn't set on her before, right? But now he just got to have her. Oh, I'm so in love with her right now. You think so? I think he was wicked and evil. He could have been any woman.
When she went out, she was unprotected.
Yes. It could have been any woman, bruh. Yeah. You the true wig on and went on about that, Shechem might have got you. That's right. And it wasn't nothing unusual. He did. He did introduce himself. Let me tell you who shouldn't have wanted to hear it. Hamor shouldn't have wanted to hear that from his son. Correct.
You do what you want to do.
That's right. That's right.
And he was under the influence of doing whatever he wanted to do.
Full of sin and evil. Remember, Canaan was not the place to be. Right? Not at this time. It wasn't. God wasn't there. So, verse number 9 and 10, they make an offer, don't they?
Right.
Let's read that. 9 and 10. Start verse 8. But Hamor said to them, my son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife. Please give her, please. Intermarry with us. Give us your daughters and take our daughters for yourselves. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it. Then Shechem said to Dinah's father. Shechem ups the ante, right? He said to Dinah's father and brothers, let me find favor in y'all eyes. I just raped your sister. I'm going to give you whatever you want.
You can't do that. You've already taken it.
Yeah. I mean, whatever you want.
But now his father didn't know he raped her, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. So, yes. That's why he was on his way to talk to Jacob. Let's get this thing right. So then Shechem said, look, we're going to make a dowry. Whatever it is that you want for the price of this bride and a gift as great as you like. I'm going to pay whatever you ask me, but I just got to have her. Give me this woman as my wife. Got to have her. Again. Right? Verse 13 says, because their sister Dinah had been defiled. There's our word again, right? Remember, we want to define what the word defiled is. Because Dinah has been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. Where do you think they got that from? Jacob was a slickster, remember that?
Yeah.
20 years in the land of Haran. Man, let me tell you something. Him and Laban going back and forth, right? And Haran deceiving each other. And the boys learned that. They was right there with him, right? You learn from your parents, don't you? Some things good, some things not so good, but you learn from it. Right. That's what I'm saying. So now these boys got it as well, right? You think if you lie all the time, your kids going to learn how to lie? Sure they will. If you singing around your house all the time, what your kids going to do? They're going to start singing. Deceitfully, these boys say, you know what? Let us make a deal with you then. Let's make a deal. We can't do that. We can't just give you our sister because you're not what? not circumcised. Not, so it'll be a disgrace to us. So we're going to enter into an agreement with one condition only. You got to become just like us and circumcise all your males. Then we'll give our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll sell among you and become one people. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we're going to take our sister and we out of here. Remember now, that's a deceitful proposal right there. So that proposal seemed good to Amon and his son Shechem. You know, when you don't ever know when people deceive you, it always seems good, doesn't it? Until you find out they got you. Oh, man, he got me. Got me. But then it's kind of too late. So they went to the gate of the city where all the men meet, right? The elders of the people and all the leaders, they meet at the city of the gate. They said, listen, these guys want to make a deal with us, and they want to live among us. They want to marry our daughters, and we need to give them our daughters. But we all got to be circumcised. But you know what else I think? I think that those guys at the city gate and Hamor knew, look, Jacob didn't come in there as no poor soul. Jacob came in with a lot of riches, didn't he? And he said, you know what happened? If we make this deal, then we're going to be able to share the stuff he got. He's going to be, you know, what they call it today? A come up. We're going to have us a little come up right here. So let's agree to do that. We can marry their daughters. They can marry ours. We can agree to live as one people. But our males got to be circumcised. You know, everybody agreed to it, every male in the city. Verse 25 is my verse. You know what verse 25 said, Brother Frederick?
And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, they'll kill that one, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brother, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males.
Every last one of them. Because every last one of that promised to be circumcised, right? Let me tell you something. When you circumcise that age, you're good as dead already. I'm going to tell you right now. Hey, I'm just saying. So they caught him at a vulnerable time, right? But they already had planned that because the Bible says it was a deceitful thing. They already knew what they was going to do. They was ready and right. Yeah. But look who killed him. Simeon and
Levi.
Now, don't say too much about Simeon. If you even look at the map of the 12 tribes, you see Simeon got like little spots in there. But Levi was, who was Levi? What was he? Them preachers out there killing folks. And wiping all of them out. So look, who we got? We got Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. You got them second and third brothers right there. So you know I love my sister so much. I'm the same mama, right? And whose mama was that? Who? We got to get you. Got to get you. Vengeance is something that God says shouldn't be taken out on folks, right? And what I want you to understand today, we've looked up the definition in our own minds what defilement is. And let me just suggest to you, because God said that vengeance is mine, I will repay, you got to let that alone. Because when you start to exact vengeance on somebody, you know what it does? Bam! It defiles you and everybody else that's involved in it. But we don't look at it like that. Better start looking at it. Defilement doesn't just happen because you go out there and say, you know what? I'm going to sleep with 50 men and 50 women. I'm going to take as many drugs as I want. I'm going to be drunk every day. But we look at that stuff as defilement. We don't look at the sins we commit as being defilement, them little bitty small things that we don't count. But see, when you're looking at somebody and you want to exact vengeance on them, you are defiling yourself. I just need you to see that. That's what I see right here, right? Defilement is something that we need to understand in our lives that we cannot, listen, defilement is going to keep you out of heaven. Whatever it is that defiles you, you need to get rid of it.
In my reading of that, I was Jacob, and you had Simeon and Levi, and they were a little deceptive. before it's done, it's going to cause a stench to follow me around. As if he wasn't totally aware of what the Lord was going to do. He should have thought that something violent was going to happen. But if I were to say something like that, now I'm concerned about how these inhabitants of this land is going to feel towards me by what these boys have done.
Now that conversation is key. I'm going to tell you why that conversation is key. Jacob is talking to his sons, who just exacted vengeance on these guys, all the males of the city. Not only did they act vengeance on the males of the city, they killed all of the men in the city. And the only one that was due to punishment was who? The only one. Sometimes we feel like because somebody done us something, we're going to take vengeance on the whole family. We don't like none of y'all. Justice is what God is. That's what God is in favor of, always in favor of justice. So let me tell you why that conversation was a good conversation, Brother Anderson. Jacob speaking to his sons about exacting vengeance, and why didn't Jacob think about exacting vengeance? Think about it. Come on, y'all, with me. Track with me. Why did not Jacob think about taking vengeance on this man for raping his daughter? Bingo. There it is. His humility that he learned when he met his brother, because he's thinking his brother going to take vengeance out on him, and his brother didn't, right? He says, you know what? My heart has changed. God has called me to do the right thing. I'm not going to take vengeance on these guys because God has had mercy on me. So why should I do that? That's a good conversation. But because of what y'all done, I stand in danger right now. This whole community of Canaanites, remember, it's an evil city. It's not the land of God, not the milk and honey you're talking about. These guys can come on me and wipe up my whole family and everything I got because of what y'all two guys did, right? No vengeance for Jacob. Jacob has learned over those 20 years, in that one moment when he met his brother coming out of Haran, he says, listen, I sure appreciate God taking care of me. I'm going to humble myself before my brother. He's going to be my Lord. I'm going to be his servant. And we're going to live our lives. Think about that. If we humble ourselves before God and allow God to be our Lord and we become his servants, vengeance is nowhere in our minds at all. It should not be there. And if it is, we defile ourselves because God says, you be holy because I am. And anything other than that is defilement. You can't just make up in your mind that you're going to take something out on somebody because they've done something else, that vigilante stuff. Can't do that, right? Especially as a Christian. Can't do it.
I got to do something else.
Go ahead.
A lot of times we don't think like that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. In the spur of the moment.
Right.
It's still sin, bro. Yeah, it's still sin, bro.
Everything is old, not old, man.
That's right. But here's the thing. Let me segue off that again. They killed him in their anger.
Usually, if you fight somebody, anger is going to pop in.
They was angry before they killed him. And you know what? They had enough time to let that anger subside because they were the sons of Jacob, and Jacob was serving the true and the living God, but they didn't. And let me tell y'all something. We've got a lot of time. Every waking moment of our lives, we got time to think about what it is we're going to do before we do it. Even if we decide we're going to do it, we can backtrack on that, right? These guys had intent in their mind, and God put this story in here for a reason. And he put it in there to let us know that we cannot be willfully cruel to somebody else who does us wrong. Because if we willfully cruel to somebody else who does us wrong, then we defile ourselves as well. It's all about rescue then. It's all about helping them repent of their sins and saving a soul from death. But we feel like just because they've done something to us, it's our right to do something to them back. Again, we were little children. If somebody hit you, what was our next words? Yes. I'm going to hit you back. But anger? Indeed, on Shechem. Indeed.
They took captive of the women and
They even slaughtered animals because they was mad. Yeah. They did it all. Vengeance. Remember when Samson took vengeance on those guys because they killed his wife and her dad? What did he do? Huh? Yeah. He tied fire to the tails of those foxes and said, go on, run, burn it down. I'm going to get y'all back. And again, you're right, Brother Anderson. We don't think like that. But as Christians, God calls us to think opposite. You got to always twist the mirror. We can't think. You know what? Let me just show you this right here. Let's just go here. I'm going to get it right now. Let's go get Exodus chapter 21 since we're here. I was going to get it later, but let's get it right now. Because we talking about justice. And God has a need for justice in our lives. Now, here's the law of Moses right here, right? Lex talionis is what it is. Exodus chapter 21. Lex talionis. 23 through 25. Look at that. We've heard that before, haven't we? But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. I want you to understand that this is not a principle about personal vengeance. And a lot of people read that and think that's exactly what it is. But it's not a principle for that. It's a principle for justice. Because just like Brother Cook said, the only one that deserved punishment for this was Shechem. So is that equal punishment for the equal crime? No, it's not. This is what Moses is talking about to the children of Israel right here when he says, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. He's not saying that because somebody do you something, we got to become a blind and toothless bunch of people. You put my teeth out of my mouth. No, this was the balance of justice by God. And we should understand that the punishment should always fit the crime. And that's what this is all about. The punishment didn't fit the crime. These guys were reckless, Simeon and Levi. Didn't fit it. And they continued with it, not only with the men of the city, they took their wives, they took their children, they took their animals, even some of the animals they killed. Because it was on a sinful binge. And what happened, Brother Vaughn? Every man that was circumcised, what? I'm telling you, he was dead already if he circumcised. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you, that's painful. It's not life for life here. It's life rescuing life. And I knew how we grew up. If somebody do something to you, my brother Fred, look, it might not be today, right? Are you going to get him down the road, Sister Barbara? You're going to know I'm coming for you. Well, oh, you forgot? Oh, you forgot? About 15 years ago, you... Mm-hmm. And then we think about God. Then we think about God, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, love has no record of... Where's the love? No record of evil. None. We think about God. Listen, for the longest time, we defiled ourselves in the sight of God. And again, I'm going to say it again, at just the right time, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to clean us up of all our defilement. He sent his son at the right time so that we might be justified. But too many times when somebody does us something, we justify ourselves for what we did. And where's that justification at? Look at the last verse of chapter 34. What does it say? This is their justification. But it's not right. What does it say? Genesis 34, the very last verse. What's that question? Come on. Dad, you telling us about all this stuff, but should we just sit back and let them just rape our sister like that? What's our justification for the things that we want to do? We got just about any reason for just about anything we want to do because we feel justified by doing it. And you know what? We don't get on our knees and pray to God, ask him to take it away from us before we do it. We do it, and then we say, when we was a little child, Lord, forgive me from what I'm about to do. Y'all remember that? And we might still do that today. I don't know you. Some of us just flat out do it. Christian. My sister Jackie, Lord, please forgive me. You know I'm fixing to slap this man. It's not about being a blind and toothless generation. It's not about being a crippled amount of people walking around each other because you want to say, I'm going to cut your hand off because you cut my sister's hand off, and they're going to know that you did it because you're going to be you're going to be crippled as well. We cripple our souls when we find ourselves being defiled because we want to exact vengeance on somebody. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, and we've got to believe that.
I think it goes in line with Matthew 6, where it says we can't serve two masters. Hmm.
Sure.
If God is in you in that moment, you're going to go to him and pray and ask him for the courage to allow you to let his will be done. And that's all I look at. I look at the moment, who's controlling your life? And we don't know the answer to that until afterwards, because we look at what we do, and then we're like, okay, thank you, God, for not allowing me to seek vengeance, or forgive me, Lord, for seeking vengeance. So we know who we serve. It's just at that moment.
So you got a godly view and have a worldly view. You know what the worldly view says? And what all of us say, we members of the church, this is what we all say all the time. I don't think that justice was served. You're going to get 20 years for killing 15 people, men, women, and children, and you're going to burn all their houses down, and you're going to make a deal, right? You're going to get 20 years. Who thinks that's fair? See, because we don't ever think that justice is served in our own eyes. We never think that. And because we don't think that justice is served, who's going to meet the justice out? I'm going to take care of that myself. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. You gonna let him get away with it?
I'm not gonna let him get away with it. No, you will never get away with it.
Why not, Brother Cook? That's what the lesson is all about, right here. We gotta let him get away with it, right? Hey, look at him. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. All right, go on, Brother Cook. Want this mic? Go on, tell me what happened. I want to know. You're going to forgive him, but is there still consequences? And there's consequences on both sides, right? Because even though you've been hurt, you're going to continue to hurt, and you'll never forget it. But if you stick with God, vengeance is going to eventually fade away from your heart and your mind. It will. Just because you've been treated wrongly and treated cruelly, husband, wife, sister, brother, whatever it might be in the church, we don't have the right to do the same thing to them that they did to us. We don't. But you wanna? Don't punch me in the eye, right? Because you got two eyes. I might punch. Hey, I want to punch one of them. But we're talking about vengeance right here, and what God requires. God says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, right? It says Jesus Christ is the wonderful counselor. Isaiah says that. He's the everlasting Father. He's the mighty God. And when we don't think that justice is being meted out right, you know what Isaiah says? That of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. But you got to pursue peace. You got to pursue it. Justice and righteousness is not always on the table. Matter of fact, if we tell a story, it ain't never on the table, especially if somebody done us something. Who brings it to the table? And you never see anybody coming back with remorse, pleading and crying for you to forgive them. And if they do, we feel like they're faking it out anyway. We tell the attorneys back, I'm going to forgive him. Well, but he got to get the consequences of this, right? I want to tell you that God is going to take care of every wrong that's ever been done. Every wrong that's ever been done, God is going to take care of it. Just because we mistreated don't mean that we have to mistreat the person the exact same way they mistreated us. It's not eye for eye, it's not tooth for tooth, it's about justice. And there will not be justice if we don't consult God when we've been hurt. It's not going to be justice if we don't commit to God when our own hearts and minds, we think that justice has failed. Justice has been failing on this earth and in humans forever. God is the God of justice. He meets it out. He takes care of it. But you know what the problem is for us too much? You know what the problem is? We're not satisfied the way God handled it. We never satisfied with that until we feel like we've done it ourselves. We want to do it. We don't want to let God take care of what didn't happen to us. Right? There are some egregious things that happens in the lives of these people on this earth and us as well. We may have some egregious things happen to us. Think about it. And some of it still is cutting us to the core right now. But we in Christ. You know when the Bible says that by his stripes we are healed, he heals us from all of those things. So when the egregious happens, when the evil and the wickedness and the sin comes into your life, it's a tough pill to swallow because, look, it's fight or flight, right? And who running? Nobody here ain't running. You running, Sister Carol? Sister Carol ain't running. You might not be strong. You better believe it. You better believe it. And that's exactly what the lesson is about. And you run to God. Sister Collins, you saying something this week? And it results in not being justice. It results in being vengeance, right? Romans 12, 19 through 21. Let's go get it. We almost finished. I need you to get this. I'm going to give you two more scriptures. What does Romans 12, 19 through 21 say? Romans 12, 19 through 21. It says, leave room for who? don't know if they got no room if we going out there ourselves. Go ahead.
But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will keep burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Isn't that the hardest thing to do?
Yeah.
That's one of the toughest. They got all the Ten Commandments right there that God had for all those Israelites coming out of Egypt, right? Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. But this is what he says right here in Romans 12. You got to take care of them enemies. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. But one thing we can't do. Go ahead, sir. But let me ask you this question. I understand what you're saying, but do you treat them with kindness to soften them up so you can get them later on? I'm gonna draw you in. I'm gonna draw you in. Shoot, if I know you like pecan candy and you've done me wrong, guess what you're getting? I'm gonna sweeten you up till you're fat enough, I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna give you a batch after you eat about 3-4. You're gonna get a batch you ain't gonna like. What'd you say, sis?
I'm hoping not to have that kind of mind.
Indeed. As Christians, we can't. We can't. Because vengeance is not justice. That's what God is saying here. Vengeance is not justice. And you can't go on and just infect a whole camp of people. You can't kill everybody because somebody did just this.
Well, the mission is to see God and to see Christ.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's dying. Everybody's dying, including you. And the reason why they're dying, Jesus' anger is a murderer, right? You don't live because anger is a murderer. And vengeance, when we exact vengeance, I want you to understand, what was our word at the beginning? We become defiled. Just in that little moment of thought, just in that little moment of anger, we defile ourselves before God, and we are not holy before his sight at all. Somebody's going to do us wrong. I'm going to tell you that right now. If they hadn't done you wrong, get ready. Strap it in, because it's happening. Somebody's going to do you wrong. And because they do you wrong, our responses toward our friends and our families, and even somebody who's a stranger, our responses, because they've done us wrong, should not be, you know I'm going to get you back. But that's what you're thinking. All of us in here as Christians, that's what we're thinking because that's who we are. Right? We got fight or flight in us. We do. But what we have more than anything else, we have God living in us as well as Christians. We have Emmanuel, God with us, who takes us away from all those evil thoughts. He takes us from all those evil things that we might think that we can do. And you know what he does? He sends us to Christ. We exact vengeance on all of our enemies. You look at the Psalms. David prayed over and over and over again for God to take vengeance on his enemies, right? Because he had them all around him. And I'm going to tell you, you might not see your enemies around you, but you've got enemies around you as well. The number one enemy is Satan. And he's sitting right there. When somebody does something to you, he's sitting right there. Go get him. Go get him. But vengeance is defilement, and we're talking about defilement. I want you all to think about this lesson and think about any and everything in your life that can defile you. Because you see these big things out here in the world, you think that you're not being defiled because you're not out there with 50 women and 50 men. You're not out there drinking and drugging. You're not out there partying. You're not walking away from the church. So you don't think you're being defiled. But I'm going to tell you right now, every thought of evil in your mind, every intent to do somebody else harm in your mind, let me tell you something, you're defiling yourself and your soul. And I just need you to think about that right from this lesson right here. Somebody's going to do you wrong. Your wife is going to do you wrong. Your husband's going to do you wrong. Your friends are going to do you wrong. People at school are going to do you wrong. and it hurts, and you will never forget it. But one thing that you should never forget in all of that is God. What's incredible to me, though, is that God uses people from any walk of life, and he brings people from any type of sin that we might commit, because sin is sin in the sight of God. He takes us and he uses us for his glory, right? Let me give you who I'm thinking about first before we even get to these guys. What did Moses do? You ever kill anybody?
Yeah.
Boy, he put it on him, didn't he? Samson ever kill anybody? Gideon ever kill anybody? Joshua ever kill anybody? Let's bring it up to the New Testament. Saul ever kill anybody? Right?
When you read the Bible, everybody you almost read about went to jail too. Who was in jail? I mean, so he was committing crimes, you know?
Sin. Here's the key to all of it. Here's the key to all of it. Remember, vengeance is defiling ourselves before God. Think about that. We don't talk about that kind of stuff all the time. Getting somebody back and doing this because they did you that. Listen, you're defiling yourself before God. And here's the last scripture I'm going to give you right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. And we need to remember that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. I'm going to go and read this one myself. Tell me when you're all ready. Who not there? Who not there? I'm going to start in verse number 7, because this is a true statement, right? If indeed we do. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please God, whether at home in the body or away from it. Number 10, for we, does that exclude anybody? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive, put that sword down. Each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether it is, see that? We can't defile ourselves before God. Think about those little small things that you do that defile you. Forget about all those big things, because it's never the big things that ruin a marriage, is it? Never the big things that ruin a friendship. And sometimes it's not the strangers as well, right? It's us. So let's keep our souls from defilement, and let's serve God in spirit and truth. Genesis chapter 34 tells us that these brothers did not exact justice, but they exacted vengeance. And when we do that, we defile ourselves before God. That's all I got for you. We got 3 minutes. Anybody got 2 minutes? I'll let you say something, and we'll pray. We get on up out of here. Yes, ma'am.
Hearing these words so that they keep ringing in our minds, because
Appreciate it. Let me say this too before we close this out with a prayer. I want all the visitors to fill out a visitor's card you're here. And we love meeting visitors. So fill out a visitor's card so we can acknowledge you at the end and love on you as well. Let us pray. Fill out a visitor's card, Brother Reed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. And that's that we might be devoted to you as much as you are devoted to us. And we might pursue your righteousness and your love as much as you pursue us with your righteousness and your love. We thank you for the Christ, Father, who has shown us the way. That because we treated him cruel and ultimately killed him, hung out on that cross, Father, that we should not even think about vengeance, because you gave us grace and mercy, that amazing grace that shines through our lives as a result of seeing Christ and his rescue for us. Allow us, Father, to continue to study your word and to be found in Christ, not having our own will, Father, but following your will in all things. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.